And I'm wondering, as I'm, you know, as I look at it, I see, oh, it's very modern. I mean, it's a thumbprint technology.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, you throw your thumb in there, and if you are chosen, the door opens. If you are not chosen, the door does not open.
No.
And I'm wondering, how do I become chosen?
I'm quite sure before you leave today, PA gonna make you chosen.
All right, fair enough. And then I get into the studio, and there's this little thing in the corner. It looks like a robot head. But I'm told now, I mean, now, look, now not only do you get to hear the sweet, sultry tones of DJ Hilson, you can actually see me live. So if you're watching
on
the Facebook page, I'm waving to the camera.
Right.
That's right.
And then on top of that, PA was in here.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the trifecta. No, it's more than a trifecta. I got to go and buy a lottery ticket. I got to play the numbers. I got to do something. I mean, like live and in person.
Right.
I reached out and I touched what I thought was an aberration, and it really was PA. I mean, he was here.
You ain't seen him in about 6 months.
It's been probably since his birthday party. It's been since, well, yeah, well, I saw him briefly. You know, it's funny because I was at the Love Lives Here event last night, and I saw yourself, and I saw PA, and you know, you guys did. You were so nice when I first walked in to basically rag me about, you know, well,
his,
you know, we tried to get next to you, and the
security
which
was
is
tight.
Baloney, because as I look from my vantage point. You know, you two were busy doing whatever you were doing, you know, doing the media thing.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed you didn't come and talk to me. So that's all right. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, I was going to do radio today. So why double dip on that? You know, you can get the same experience on Tuesday. There's no need to jump on it on Monday. I get it.
We ain't got to worry about Secret Service being around you in here.
Secret Service. You know, I got to tell you, you know, there is no such thing as Secret Service.
There's Secret Service for DJ. I'm telling you, he had Tim Matt on one side. He had more prosecutors on the other side. And it looked like 4 or 5 state troopers around him in the back. And then it looked like some Secret Service guys. They had stuff coming out their ears. I'm sitting there like, wow.
All I got to say
can't even
is,
touch DJ
look,
now.
All I got to say is, ladies and gentlemen, just go to the Love Lives Here Facebook page, look through the photographs. You will not see any of those things being described by Big Rob right now. Zero. In fact, what you will see is I'm kind of in the middle of a group. I got, at one point, I had the sheriff next to me, but he had to leave early. And then I had some fellow Democratic Party members, Jennifer Barnes, the chair, and Bob Wright, who's on the executive board. I was standing next to them. And then I had the, is it Phi Delta Theta ladies?
Yeah.
In front of me.
I don't remember who wearing
the red. Red.
Yeah.
Wearing the red.
Yeah.
So they were in front of me, and then there was me, and so there was no state police, there was no Secret Service, there was none of that.
I'm just joking, I'm pulling his leg, I ain't seen him in a while, I haven't seen you in about a month now, right?
Probably a month, yeah.
That you've been at the show,
yeah.
So I had to rag on him, y'all, it's
too
easy,
way too
because
easy.
He's going to rag on me every time he sees me, so hey, I'm good.
It's all good. That's what we do. That's just how I show you that I love you.
Right? That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. And now, of course, we're live on video.
Yep.
So I can't, you know, we can't do, I can't, like I said, I can't pick my nose anymore on the radio.
Can't do that.
Because, you know, next thing you know, it'll show up everywhere. And
somebody
will clip it. Yeah, and then it's all.
DJ Hilson at a bar picking his nose.
Picking his nose.
They'll take the headphones off your
That's
head.
Right.
Mic, and the mic would be a half a gallon of gin or something.
Right. Photoshopping me in. Oh, yeah. That's all right. It's life of social media. But, you know, if you're watching us live, it's kind of awesome, actually. I mean,
absolutely.
It's kind of nice that, you know, we got both mediums covered. And as I said before, we're got on the air, I certainly think I have a face for radio, but I've got a body for TV. So you get the whole package, ladies and gentlemen. The whole package.
The whole thing.
The whole enchilada, whether you want to or not. I suppose if you don't want that, you just shut Facebook down and go, you know what? I'm going to stick to audio. We're gonna cut out the video. I'm gonna stick to audio.
It is great to see you,
great
DJ.
To see you,
and
man.
we didn't have time last time you were here. We didn't talk about sports at all. So
no.
You know what we do, y'all. When football season is in, towards the end, when DJ gets ready to go, we got to talk about some football and
some
stuff
football
like
down.
That. Want to remind people, this is 103.7 The Beat, WVS, Southern Muskegon Heights. I'm sorry, I had to get that in.
Get that in there. And, yeah. And of course, you know, the request line is 231-722-8338.
Yes, sir. You got any interesting things going on down there? I know you got some
big
trials coming up.
We got some big trials coming up. You know, there's a couple of things I want to touch on. You know, like I said, the Love Lives Here event was last night. I mean, mm-hmm. You were there.
Yes, sir.
Great turnout. Mm-hmm. Really nice event, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah.
I think
beautiful.
Rotary did a great job. You know, the Diversion Inclusion mm-hmm. Subcommittee or committee did a fantastic job really putting that together in a
right.
very short period of time. It was like 2.5 weeks, really, they kind of came up with the idea. You know, for those of you who weren't there, they had crafted this really nice, well-written letter and had sent it around to various nonprofits. And I must have gotten that letter about 5 times because of the various organizations that I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I signed on to it almost immediately. And they did a nice job of reading the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And they also did a nice job of going through the organizations and the individuals who had basically authorized their signature to go on the letter. And as I was telling some of the folks that were there last night, I'm still looking for this Dale Hilson guy that is the prosecutor. I'm not sure who that is. But once I find him, I'm going to make sure that he understands that he's not the prosecutor. That it's this guy named DJ.
DJ.
but you know, it was a very nice event, very well attended.
Yes.
There was probably,
yes.
I don't know, 200 some people there,
yeah.
At least from my
Absolutely.
Estimations.
Absolutely.
From all different, you know.
Walks of life.
All different walks of life. And so it was nice. It was nice, again, to show, you know, certainly our side of the state and hopefully the east side of the state,
right.
What Muskegon stands for.
Right.
And it is all about community and love and everything else. I mean, I grabbed a yard sign and planted it in my front yard because I truly have, you know, that is my passion for this community, is that that's what we're all about.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, that's what really we're all about. So, again, hats off to the Rotary folks and hats off to everybody that made it there last
yeah.
night. Beautiful night, too.
Yeah.
You couldn't ask for better weather.
No.
You know, I'll have to, next time I see my Rotary friends, remind them that, you know, usually Rotary provides, like, snacks. You know, for those uh-huh. for those of us that put in that 8-to-5 day, you
right.
know, we're going to an event after 5, just a snack or something. You know, just something so that we don't pass out.
Something to munch on.
Yeah, right, we don't pass out from hunger. But no, I'm kidding. But so that was wonderful. The other thing that I want to kind of promote and press, I had a meeting, subcommittee meeting with that this afternoon, as a matter of fact. I work with the Health Project, which is kind of a subsidiary of Mercy Health, and they do a lot of community things in the area of prevention. And, mm-hmm. and one of the areas that we have been focused on for the last few years is substance abuse and use,
mm-hmm.
in particular amongst our youth.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, a lot of the issues that people face later on in life start when they're young.
Right.
And so, you know, there are a lot of different programs or subgroups, if you will, with under the Health Project umbrella to deal with things like smoking, mm-hmm. underage and binge drinking. I kind of serve on the committee that deals with the drinking aspect, but I also serve on the committee that deals with the substance or drug use.
Okay.
And we have been for the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 months, planning and putting together something that I don't think has ever been done before for our young people. And I'm very excited about this. We are in the process of putting together a panel, if you will, and if this goes well, we're going to probably break it up into a different series, and it's going to be dealing with educating and essentially educating our young people, the ages of 7 or the grades 7 through 12,
mm-hmm.
on the various substance abuse issues. This first part is dealing with shattering myths as it relates to marijuana and heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cool thing about this is that as we were in the early stages of planning this, you know, certainly we could put together a panel. We could go school to school to school to school to school and probably spend the entire school year hitting all the different schools, you know, working within their schedule. Well, what we decided as a group is that we can, we're going to do something. We're going to use modern technology. So we are creating a panel that's going to be essentially centered at MCC, the community college, and we're going to broadcast it live so that school classrooms can stay in their classrooms and watch this panel and participate either via Facebook Live or we're looking at another platform. The other cool thing about it is that not only are students going to have the opportunity to do this, but we're also going to invite parents to participate as well to watch. And, you know, it's going to be during a time period where if there's a working parent, they can watch it because it's during the lunch hour. It's 12:30 to 1:15.
Okay.
So that's coming up October 3rd, and there'll be more details for you parents out there that have students in the school system. Mm-hmm. We've been working with the ISD and how we're going to be promoting this, and so you're going to start seeing over the next couple of weeks information on this particular event. I'm very excited about it. If the panelists work out that we're planning on having, it's going to be very, very good. Mm. It's really going to be to the point. It's hopefully, you know, it's going to send a very, I guess, powerful message to our young people about what those two substances are and what they can be as far as, you know, your own health is concerned. Again, for parents out there who are listening to the show, pay attention to your emails coming out here over the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a lot of information that the ISD is going to be popping out. And once we get all the logistics put together, you're going to see how, as a parent, you can link in to a Facebook page to watch it live if you so choose. Now, the nice thing, too, is that not only are we going to do broadcasting it live, but we're going to archive it and provide it to the schools who maybe couldn't participate live.
Right.
Or for parents, you know, I'm sure the ISD will put it on their website. We'll be able to move it around, and parents can watch it at their leisure. So this is something, like I said, that I'm unaware of being done at all at any level across the state. And it's again, it's something that's necessary. Unfortunately, it's necessary because, you know, as I work with these various groups from prevention and certainly law enforcement, we're seeing kids younger and younger starting to experiment or starting to get addicted. And I think part of the issue, like everything else, part of the issue is that they lack the information or the, you know, the knowledge, and when they're making these life choices. So if we can provide them with at least a baseline or foundation of information, maybe they think twice, or they at least they have that information in their head as they're making these choices. Because the last thing we want to see is a young person either get to the point of being addicted that affects, you know, their ability to perform in school, which again then prevents their ability to graduate and all the other things that happen when you don't graduate from high school. But more importantly, it's all about their safety too, because today, you know, the substances that we're talking about aren't like the substances back in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
They're much more powerful. They're much more potent. And when we talk about things like heroin, they're being mixed with very dangerous chemicals, fentanyl and carfentanyl, where, I mean, literally a grain of sand of carfentanyl, if you imagine just a grain of sand, what that looks like, that amount of carfentanyl will kill a person.
Wow.
And so this stuff is real. We have seen it not only here in Muskegon, but also on the west side of the state here. And so this isn't like a scared straight thing. This is real stuff. These are things that are going to impact our young people one way or another. And so they need to have that information and that knowledge base so that they can make good choices, good decisions. And so I'm very excited about this. I mean, we've had a great partnership on this little subcommittee. Like I said, we met this afternoon for about an hour and 20 minutes, just kind of brainstorming, putting the final details on how this is going to come out. But October 3rd is our date, 12:30 to 1:15. Again, for parents of students, you're going to start seeing information on this being blasted to you through the ISD. Pay attention to it. You know, and certainly as we get closer, we'll probably do some press releases and whatnot so that the greater community, if they want to participate or just check in and see what's going on, they'll have that opportunity to do so. So, like I said, this is a very cool adventure, if you will, that I get to be a part of, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm hoping that it fits the need that the teachers are asking us to fill, or fills that gap. And like I said, if things go well, this is just going to be part one of a series of events that we're going to put forward, and we'll do different. We'll kind of center on the same theme, but we'll take it from different perspectives. For example, there'll be a law enforcement piece to this as well in an upcoming series. There'll be other things, for example, parents who have lost children to an overdose. To me, very impactful, very powerful stuff. So, keep your eyes peeled and take advantage of it, because it'll provide, even for parents, it'll provide information. Because, a lot of times, as is the case, parents are busy and sometimes, and I'll speak personally as a parent,
right.
you kind of lose track of keeping track of your kids.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's in that very gray and danger area. So if we're not paying attention to what our kids are getting involved in,
right?
Then we become part of the problem as parents.
Who
their friends are, what they're doing, where they're going, all that kind of stuff. And it's a lot of times people, parents in general, because I've spoken to a lot of parents, they feel like, I want to give my kids their space and their privacy. You can still do that. You can still respect that, but, as it is in my household, and my wife, my wife.
Yes.
We rule the roost, as much as my three children, who I love dearly, as much as they will push the envelope, because that's what kids do, in the end, they always lose. Always.
In some kind of way,
they lose, and we're pretty strict about that, because kids are kids,
right?
Right, and they don't have the same life experience that you and I have.
No,
they think they do,
yeah,
and they think they're ready to just charge on through, but they don't. And look, we're all guilty of that. I guarantee you, I was the same way, stupid and stubborn, going,
right.
You can't tell me that.
Right.
You're full of it. It's so okay. We all. It's part of life, but the other part of life is obviously being a good parent.
Right.
And part of that is policing.
Yeah.
You police your kids. They're not your friends. They're your kids.
Right.
Right.
Flat out.
Flat out. They are your kids. You don't have to be extreme about it. But I think it's important that parents understand that there are things going on that. And certainly with social media and the internet and all that stuff, as young and handsome as I look, that stuff didn't exist when I was in high school.
Right.
Didn't exist.
And it's sad that some parents want to be their kids' friends.
Right.
And we have to be parents, because if we made mistakes in life, if we love our children enough, we learn from them.
That's right.
And that's the thing that gets me with children. You can tell them all day long, I've been there, I've done that, this ain't the way you should go. They still got to, like you said, push that envelope.
That's right.
And see for themselves sometimes and stuff. And that's, because in my house, it was a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Like you wasn't doing nothing, you wasn't going nowhere, don't even ask. I didn't care. Got down to my daughter, and it got a little easier for her, because I got four boys,
right.
And my life, what it was before, she was my angel, my sweetheart, my everything and stuff like that, and whew, I messed that up. And the messed up thing about it is her grandmama told me too.
Ooh.
She said, you can't spoil her like that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but you can't spoil her like that, and I didn't really get what she was saying until she turned 18.
Oh, and then, oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm still on the front end of this. So, as I tell people, my two boys will be, out of the house, and my daughter will, I think, just be entering high school. So either I'm going to get worn out and she's going to take advantage of that, or she's just going to take advantage of, you know, whatever the case is.
Being daddy's little
girl.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like they got that niche to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And even though mom's like, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. Even grandparents like, no, you shouldn't do that. You still, as a father, sometimes you're like, okay, go ahead. Don't tell nobody.
That's right. Shh.
Yeah.
Our little secret.
Right. Here's the extra scoop of ice cream.
That's right.
You know, so.
Our little secret.
I get it. And that's a good thing that you guys are doing. I appreciate it because I'm part of this community, and I think everybody that's part of this community should appreciate it. You know,
absolutely.
You being proactive instead of reactive.
Right.
You know, my whole, you know, view on it is, it's simple. You know, we need to change these things because we're losing too many children and we're losing too many adults who want to be parents.
Right.
Whether it be through pain that they suffered in the past and they turn to these drugs to depend on,
right,
to make the pain go away. And I'm glad you understand that parenting ain't easy, you know, by a long shot. You know, you don't get a chance to hear that from people that's in the law enforcement, you know, field and stuff like that, that parenting is not an easy job to do.
No.
And you understand that sometimes you, with work and with running around, like you, I've seen you, if y'all see his schedule, you see him at 8 o'clock in the morning at one meeting, he's in court by 9:30, he's done with court, he's at this meeting, 10 o'clock, he's at another, you know, and then he's trying to fit lunch in there some kind of way. And then his kids are going to school, and then he's up at fist bump at 7 o'clock. I mean, I can only imagine. You're a telephone dad.
Sometimes
that's what my kids called me, was a telephone dad, because I was always on the go, going here, doing this, doing that, and stuff. And at times I'm still guilty of it, you know, and I know it. But you know, they say when you die, it's that little dash. Mm-hmm. Everything else in between. The day you was born and the day you died is the most relevant, and it's the little dash.
What did you do?
What did you do? You know, what did you do? You know, besides go to school, that's expected. Besides go to college, that's expected. Get a job, that's expected.
Right.
Be a good parent, that's expected.
Right.
But what did you do for others?
Right. Right.
Not only for yourself. So, I mean, I get it, and I'm glad you guys are doing that. That seems awesome.
No, you know? Like I said, we'll talk more about it as we get a little bit closer. But you know, it's a necessity.
Yes.
On both sides, both educating parents and educating kids, and you know, I hope that when this thing kicks off and we get it, we actually do it, that kids really listen,
right?
Because these are going to be real people.
Yes.
Who have gone through this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to be me standing up there telling you don't do it. These are going to be people that have gone through it. And they'll tell you what it was like.
Right.
So that, to me, you can't get any more powerful than that.
No,
can't
you
get
can't.
Any more powerful than that.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. So, you know, those are the two. Last night, obviously, and that coming up are some of the things that I'm working on. And, you know, on top of that, I'm have started and begun my preparation for the Jeff Willis trial, which kicks off mid-October. And
are you trying that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So I've been working on that, and am anxious to have that ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
By the mid-October. And you know, the other thing from the community standpoint is we've got our community basketball game that is benefiting the Child Abuse Council.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up October 1st at Mona Shores this year. We're going to be at Mona Shores High School this year playing basketball against the, I can't remember what they're called now, Flying something or other. But whatever team's going to whoop our butt is what they should call it. The team that's going to come in and run around us like, you know,
nobody's business.
That's right. As we, you know, I'm going to stretch my neck out. Because what happens is that your head's on a swivel during the course of the game. It's, you know, you're driving up, and then all of a sudden you miss the shot, and in 2 seconds, they are dunking it. It is...
it's an amazing show.
Quite a sight to see. But, you know, we're assembling our Community Stars basketball team, which, you know, has over the last couple of years that we've done this, has brought together a lot of different area community folk that agree to, you know, look silly running up and down a basketball court. And, and you know, this this team that we bring in is kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters, the minor league Harlem Globetrotters, and so
wow.
You know, that's always it's always fun. It's a great experience for kids. You know, it's a show,
right?
I mean, it's a show.
It's a show,
and so it is a lot of fun, and oh. So I'm looking forward to it. This is something that's fun, and it benefits the Child Abuse Council. So we'll keep you guys up to speed on that as well.
All right.
That's Sunday, October 1st. October 1st will be that basketball game at the Mona Shores High School this year. We've played at Muskegon High School. We played at Reese Puffer, and now we're at Mona Shores.
Oh, wow.
So we're kind of spreading the love a little bit amongst the schools.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. So it'd be nice to fill that place.
Now, you got another case. I think I read about, I don't know if how long it's been. You arrested a young man for the killing of the young man that was out here on Laketon, I believe it was.
Yes, yeah, that case is still in the court system. Johnny Brown is the individual that we charged with that murder. I'm not sure, I can't remember when that's, I think that's coming for trial here pretty soon.
Now, do you handle that case also?
I did not. No, one of my assistants is handling that case.
So what is it like when DJ goes into a courtroom? Do you have like 10 other attorneys with you?
No,
some interns?
I've never in my career done the entourage thing.
You did?
No, because, you know, one, some of it is, one, when you have too many, when you have all that, it mm-hmm. distracts. I mean, mm-hmm. it's distracting for the jury first, but it's also distracting for the lawyer because invariably, you're going to have somebody like chirping in your ear, and when you're in trial, I mean, you have to pay attention every second of every witness, whether I'm asking the questions or they're being cross-examined by a defense lawyer, because you have to listen to see what they're saying. I mean, are they saying what you think you thought they were going to say, or have they changed it at all? Or is there a point that's being made on cross-examination that you then have to stand up and kind of, you know, massage a little bit, and so you really, I mean, it is like 110% of your attention has to be, and so if somebody's whispering in your ear, that's a distraction. If you get, you know, three interns running around shuffling papers, that's a distraction. So I've never done that. I also like the idea of being the lone wolf, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Here is the poor public servant prosecutor. Ready to present his case, and you know, you look over there, and there's the lawyer, the defense lawyer, and they've got, you know, a paralegal and two other folks with notepads ready to take notes,
right,
and all that,
right,
that stuff. I mean, I like that imagery, quite frankly. You know, the underdog, if you will. I become the underdog.
And you know where I get that from, DJ, honestly, is you see these cases on TV that are real cases.
Yeah.
And when the actual DA or prosecutor, whatever they call them in that area.
Yep.
When they walk in with a crew.
Sure.
I mean, there's 8-9 people around them that's taking notes. They got notepads.
Yeah.
They got attorneys, assistant prosecutors, legal assistants, whatever it is. And they're all looking and trying to. I was like, wow. I was wondering if that's what you do. You really just go in there by yourself with your briefcase.
Get my briefcase. Usually, the only person that I have with me is my officer in charge. So it's usually the lead detective.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have sit with me. But that's it.
No, I'm talking about no other lawyers.
No other lawyers, man. Just
no
me.
Other
just
legal.
Me and my stuff. I don't bring any other lawyers.
I got to come to one of your cases to see.
Hey, look,
you
man.
Walk in. You don't have like on. I don't know if you ever seen my cousin Vinny when he walked in with the box of stuff.
Oh yeah, the big box of stuff. No, I mean, you know, this will be a lot of electronics. So I'll probably have a couple of computers,
mm-hmm.
Certainly some legal books and a couple of notepads, and that'll be about it.
Wow, and you really enjoy. Not the fact that you got to try a case, but you don't mind being in the courtroom.
No, I love the courtroom.
You don't necessarily just want to sit behind the desk and kiss the babies. You want to actually get in there and get your feet wet.
I want to roll up my sleeves. I want to get my hands dirty. I mean, I love the courtroom. I grew up in the courtroom, and I just love the courtroom. There's just something about it. I don't know, for me. Maybe it's, you know, maybe I've got some kind of mental illness as it relates to that. Because, you know, you're talking about real life. You're talking about real people. It can be very stressful at times.
Right.
I tell you, you want to talk about just, when you get a combination of the mental, sharpness you have to have, coupled with the adrenaline flowing through you, at the end of a day, it really feels like you ran a marathon. You know, once the adrenaline kind of lets loose, I am always mentally and physically exhausted. And that's why, you know, I try to stay in shape a little bit because of that physical and mental drain. It is, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, sometimes people, I look at it like you're crazy. I mean, you signed up for this craziness, right? You agreed that this is going to be part of my life now. I don't know. There's just something about that arena, that atmosphere, where I always, it never fails. But prior to, you know, the bell ringing, I'll have a little bit of the butterflies. And then once I get going, those things are just, they go away. And now I'm in my zone. I'm in my my area of expertise, if you will, and we just go. Because ultimately, you know, the facts are what the facts are.
Right.
That typically doesn't change a whole lot.
Right.
So the facts are what they are. You know, a lot of it is how you decide you're going to present it. The manner you're going to present it, the order you're going to present it, is important as part of strategy. So that to me is the challenge, if you will. How am I going to present this in a way where the jury at the end, prior to me even giving my closing argument, is going to go, oh yeah, we got everything we need. We're going to listen to you because I've got to give this closing argument. We got everything we need. So, I mean, that to me is the challenge. I don't know. For whatever reason, it's been implanted in me that this is, you know, what gets my juices flowing. Which, hey, look, I mean, I'm not going to shy away from that. That's why, you know, when I ran for office and I became the elected, it reduced my courtroom responsibilities significantly, given all the other things that I'm doing. And so that when I get an opportunity to actually get back into the courtroom, I take advantage of that. And quite frankly, that's the nice thing about being the boss. I mean, I get to pick and choose what I want to do, which is nice. I mean, sometimes my assistants don't like it so much. But too bad. I'm the boss. Hey, that's just the way it goes.
When it goes good, it falls on your shoulder. When it goes bad, it falls on your shoulder.
Exactly.
So, hey, let me have a little fun every now and then.
That's right.
I get it.
Take the good and the bad. Take the good and the bad.
I get it.
So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about real people. We're talking about real situations and their tragedies. I mean, these are tragic situations that we're dealing with. And, you know, I don't make light of that. In the same token, this is what I've wanted to do. This is why I went to school. This is why I went to law school. This is why I became a trial lawyer, for cases like this. When those come along, I'm going to take advantage of that and use the talents that I've been given and the skills that I've learned in order to bring justice. And so, you know, that's why I get a little excited about that. So between that one, and I'm also going to do the Anthony Blamer case. That I'm going to take that one on as well. Over the next, 6 to 8 months, I'll probably have at least 3 murder trials in the hopper.
Wow.
Which would be good.
Yeah. Wow. You the boss, and you still like getting your feet dirty.
Just say, listen, I mean, I think it's important. I really think it's important.
So you don't lose it.
Well, you don't lose it, and the other thing is that, you know, that's where I cut my teeth. That's where I worked my way through the ranks. So why not continue it?
Right.
I am an administrator, but I'm not. That part of the job is not my favorite.
Right.
The community stuff, I love that. Courtroom stuff, I love. You know, the HR admin stuff, I hate. I mean, I just hate it.
At least you're honest.
But I got to do it. I mean,
right, you got to do it, but at least you're honest. You know, I don't like doing it, but this is what I got to do.
That's not my favorite part.
This is what comes with the territory.
It does. When you run an office, you run it. Yeah. I mean, and that means dealing with all the different personalities and dealing with all the, you know, the stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah.
It's like every day I walk into a family reunion. and you never know, you know, for those of you, and I know we got a lot of listeners out there that have family reunions every year. You do the barbecue thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
I throw a barbecue every day. and so, you know, you just don't know. You just don't know what's coming. But you deal with it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's different. You got the crazy uncle. You got the crazy auntie.
Yeah.
You got the crazy cousins. I want to be bad cousins. You got the little ones running around.
That's
them
right.
Baby kids. And you trying to tell them to sit down and be quiet.
Yeah.
And they cussing you out. And their mama think it's funny. And, yeah, I've been down through that.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
So I get it.
Hey. That's the best analogy I got.
That's a good one. We can all picture that. Going to family reunions and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I know it's getting close time.
What
you
time?
Getting out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so we got to go to sports.
Got
to
talk. Listen.
Got to talk some sports.
I
ain't saying nothing.
Nope.
I've learned over these past four or five years now?
Five years.
I ain't predicting nothing no more.
Well, look, you do have some bragging rights, because I didn't get a chance to watch the Lions on TV, but I was because I was at work working,
mm-hmm.
But I was listening to them on the radio, they rose to the challenge. They rose to the challenge.
Yeah.
Very impressive, actually.
Yeah.
Very impressive. You know, people got the radio announcers got a bit excited. You know, it is only week one. Everybody,
need to sit down and have a conversation with you first.
Let's slow the train down just a little bit. You know, don't start buying your Super Bowl tickets just yet. Don't do that. But they look good. You know, Stafford looked good. You know, I think they got some surprise out of this rookie receiver.
Mm-hmm.
The North Division this year, the NFC North, could be an interesting one. I watched a little bit of the Viking game last night. Vikings look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how they kind of shepherd out, but they look pretty good. You know, the Packers won on Sunday. I mean, it took them a while. Man, I think it was like three quarters before. No, it was just before halftime where the Seahawks kicked the first field goal. But it took a while to get things rolling. You know, I think ultimately they'll get it figured out. So the way that I see it, it's probably we'll see how it plays out here over the next several weeks. But you know, I think we got to watch out for the Vikings. We got to watch out for the Lions, Bears. I'm not worried about the Bears. They're going to be terrible. They're probably going to finish in last place of the division. They are just not good at all this year. So we don't even have to worry about them.
Not at all, huh?
Zero.
Zero. What if they win one game?
Well, look, they I'm sure they will. I mean, I'm sure they will win one game. But I think it'll probably be we'll see. I mean, if Andrew Luck doesn't come back for the Colts could be the worst team in football this year. They look really, really bad on Sunday, and we'll see.
Who does Trevor have?
Trevor, you know, obviously he's a Bronco fan.
Bronco, I keep forgetting.
Yeah, he's a Bronco fan, and he's also a Packer fan. But you know, his big bragging rights this week is that we've got a family fantasy football league, which includes mm-hmm. my two boys, myself, a couple of brother-in-laws, and some nieces, mm-hmm. some nephews, mm-hmm. and my father and. My son and I, Trevor and I, went head-to-head this week, he smoked me pretty good. He smoked me pretty good, and his mother this morning. Now, mind you, you know, we're getting ready for school and work this morning.
Right.
It is 7:15 in the morning, and I come down, and I'm dressed, ready to go, you know, kind of putting my lunch together, and his mother had to warn him several times, be humble, boy. Be humble. Because he wanted to jump out of his shoes and get in my face over this week one fantasy football win.
You haven't taught him, look, it's just the beginning.
Well, you know,
wait till we get into the meat and potatoes of this.
Well,
season.
It's so funny because you know he his highs are really high. And his low, you know, he'll lose next week or in 2 weeks, and it'll be like you know we shaved his head bald or something. I mean, it'll be that devastating to him. He's very emotional when it comes to sports, so he needs to take a little of the emotion out.
Right. Find that balance.
That's right. He got a lot of his mother in him. No, that's not true. Because I had this issue growing up myself, just a little bit. But eventually you grow out of it. You know, you still get excited, but it's not like, you know, if your team loses, you're going to shut your door and sit in the dark for the rest of the day.
Oh, my God.
So he's still learning about that. But, you know, we're getting there. But we're getting there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the Lions could be somebody to toy. You know, they could be a formidable opponent this year. We'll see. I mean, I think Packers-Lions play pretty soon, actually. I mean, they usually have their first game together early in the season.
Right.
So I think that's
coming.
And
then they have another game usually.
Towards the end of the season.
Towards the end of the season.
So I think that game's coming up very soon. I look forward.
To that game. I can send you texts then.
Yeah, sure.
What are we doing here?
You could say, hey, look, you know.
What are we doing?
I try to, I've learned over the years that you wait until the game is over before you start talking trash.
He's not lying either, y'all, because I'm telling y'all. I was sending DJ a text that the Lions make a touchdown or something on Green Bay. I won't hear from him until the game is over. Or the next day. Well, we did it. You just took the excitement out of it.
Yeah. The only exception to that was, I can't remember if it was last season, maybe last season, when the Packers, like in the first half, just, it was like, and every time they scored a touchdown, I was sending a text saying, there's another one. I did lose my discipline at that point. And the Lions came back to that game and almost won. So I almost had to eat my words. So, you know.
Absolutely.
There's something to be said about, you know.
How is Notre Dame doing this year?
Well, they played Georgia on Saturday. Last Saturday? Yeah, last Saturday they played Georgia. And lost by one. Now Georgia they won their first game. Notre Dame won their first game, and they lost by one to Georgia. And Georgia was a higher ranked team, and that was a Duke 'em out game. They were back and forth throughout the entire game, and you know I didn't get a chance to see the end of it, but you know it was back and forth. So that was a good game. So we'll see how they do. I mean. You know, the talk on the street is that if they don't do something decent this year, that this is probably Brian Kelly's last year as head coach. And that's kind of typical for Notre Dame. The boosters get a little antsy, you know. Yeah. I mean, they haven't sniffed a national championship. I guess it hasn't been too long ago. But I think the last time they played for a national championship was against Alabama, and they got absolutely smoked. And that was, I can't remember what year, but that was probably at least 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, like I said, boosters get nervous, alumni get nervous, you know, and of course the university gets nervous when the checks stop coming.
Quick.
Muskegon
they're doing their thing
I'm telling you what, man, the Big Reds have got it going on right now. Yeah. They've got something special going on right now. That's exciting. I look forward to hitting Hackley Stadium and coming to a game again. But they got something going on. I'm hoping that this wave continues.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Also, I looked at Muskegon Heights. They're doing good, too. Yep. Both Muskegon and Muskegon Heights played teams from out of town.
Yep.
Muskegon Heights played the Detroit team. Muskegon played the Chicago team that beat them, I think, last year.
Yep.
and both teams won.
They
so
went, yeah, they went down. I was and, like, and wow. They smoked them.
Now, have you heard anything about Mona Shores? Or
Mona Shores, so Mona Shores, I think, is undefeated yet this year. They had a close one last week against Rockford. They were up 3 with 55 seconds to go in the game. Mona Shores was, and ultimately ended up winning. But that was a back-and-forth battle. Catholic is looking real good this year. We were, my kids that go there, and so we were at the game Friday, and they were playing Orchard View, and they look real good. Catholic does. They've got some talent on that team, athletic talent. So, you know, it could be another year. I mean, unfortunately for Shores, you know, they sit in the same division as the Big Reds. And so, you know, ultimately, if they're both having solid seasons, they're going to end up meeting each other probably in the playoffs somewhere, and somebody's going to get knocked out, which is unfortunate. But it is what it is. That's why you got to come to play every week. So... it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting as we move forward in the season. But, yeah, I mean, I could see the Muskegon area sending another some teams to Ford Field again this year. Yeah, I really absolutely. Can. I can see it happening, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always great to have us represented there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the Muskegon area. So, I love this time of year. Football time is...
Football.
Oh, man.
It's all about football.
It's all about football. And the nice thing is that it, you know... It usually starts right around Thursday. You know, college, I think usually the first college games start being played on Wednesday night, and then Thursday night you've got Thursday night NFL, and you're battling between that and the college game, and then, you know, Saturday is just like, mecca, man. I mean, it's just, what game can I watch? Because you can literally, I think from noon until probably midnight, watch football.
12 hours.
And even beyond that, those West Coast games start at like 10:15.
You're right.
So if you want to stay up till 1 o'clock watching football, have at it. Knock yourself out. I mean, how cool is that?
Especially if you got the NFL package and the college package on your cable or dish or whatever you got.
Yeah.
I know some guys are so... football fanatics. They got cable and dish because dish offers one type of package and cable offers another. And I know what I pay for my cable.
Oh.
And Lord Jesus, I don't want two bills.
No.
Like that.
No. Listen, I've one network. And I watch. There's plenty of things to watch. and quite frankly, I would never get away. Well, there's no way that I'd get away with two networks. that ain't happening in the Hilson household. I couldn't even sneak that one by the finance director of the Hilson household. That isn't happening. Nor could I get away with, you know, watching football for 12 hours straight. I'd have to fake an illness or something in order to get that accomplished. And even then, that might not work.
No.
Because it would be, listen, don't think you're watching football. If you're not feeling good, then you go lay down and close your eyes.
It's the rest and get better.
That's right. That's right. It does not include watching football all day. Not at all. It does not include that. That is not included. So, you know, like I said, it is. It's fun. It's exciting. You know, I'm proud to. I'm helping out this year. I became I don't know what kind of sponsor, but Greg Roberts approached.
Oh, the GBQ BBQ. Yeah, sponsor for the other sports of the volleyball, the cheerleading, the all of that kind of stuff.
So I
take some of the funds and give to them.
I've become a sponsor for that, so I'm happy to do that this year and support that aspect of it.
Right.
You know, for some reason you hear my name a lot on the radio. That's the reason
that's
why.
The reason
I'm trying to finagle, and I know, I mean, I got an in, you know, at the radio station.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Trying to finagle an opportunity to get on the air during one of the games, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want to. You're more than welcome. We don't, you know that. You are Trevor. We love Trevor, and I wish we could get Trevor in all the time. Because Trevor, he's hype when he's, man, Trevor don't hold him up. His son is, if you want to talk to a sports person that knows the sports factually, talk to his son.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see this little kid bob around, you know, knowing all the NFL stats and all this kind of stuff. You say he actually sits up and researches this thing.
Yeah.
You have to, threaten him to tell him you're not going to get this computer
I'm telling you.
Or you got to turn in your iPad or whatever you got.
it's a disease. It's a disease. He is absolutely wrapped around it, which is okay.
Yeah.
As long as we tell him, as long as you make sure that you kind of involve yourself in other things.
Yeah.
Because if you are totally centralized on that, you're going to miss out on opportunities. So we want to make sure that he gets involved in that. But you know, it is. It's a fun time. It's a fun time in the Hilson household during this time. My wife's not all that excited all that time, but you know, on Sunday it doesn't stop her from putting on her Lions shirt and making sure that she lets us know when the Lions win.
Right. Miss Hilson.
Oh yeah.
She's a firecracker too, y'all.
Oh god.
She ain't. I can imagine her and DJ's arguments. DJ probably just sits there and be like, "Whatever you want."
Yes, dear.
You got it.
Yes, dear is my response. Yes, dear.
Because I can't imagine her getting mad. Oh.
I can.
I would love to be a fly on the wall to see your wife be mad.
I can imagine it. In fact, I'm still dealing with a little post-traumatic stress as a result of it.
That would be the funniest thing in the world for me to see. DJ Big Bad Prosecutor and his wife. Round one, he's done.
There's no contest, dude. There is no. I've told you this before.
Yeah, I know.
I don't. That title means nothing
at home.
When I walk home tonight, means nothing. I don't even play that card. there's no point.
That has got to be the funniest thing in life.
I don't even play that card.
Well, tell your wife and kids. I know you got to get out here and stuff. I said hello.
I sure will.
The whole radio station says hello, and we're grateful that they allow you to do this.
Yep.
Because I know if she had a problem with it, you wouldn't be doing it.
That's right.
It'll be done.
You're done.
He wouldn't even put it in 2 weeks' notice.
That's right.
I can't come in, y'all. No more. Like, it's your wife, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
So, thank you, DJ,
no,
for
my
coming
pleasure.
By. And
my
thank
pleasure.
Your family for allowing you to do
I
this
will.
With us. You've been doing it strong for 5 years
yes,
now. You never wavered. You know, you came in the door saying what you was going to do, and you actually done it. And, you know, we thank you and appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm looking forward. It looks like, and I'm not going to say who, but next time I'm here, in 2 weeks, I'm bringing a special guest with me. So far it's lining up that it's going to happen. So I'm not going to say who yet, but you're going to want to tune in 2 weeks to my show, because there will be a very special, very prominent guest.
Oh, wow.
That I'm bringing with me.
Wow. So. Wow. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get PA to fly back in for this one. And he handled the show.
Well, look.
Bosses handle the show.
The bosses. Listen, don't. You know, I suppose I'm kind of cutting my own knees off where I say, well, the boss can do whatever he wants. If I say I'm running the board, I'm running the board. You cannot stop me.
The bosses. I would love to see that. I like to hear you two go at it and stuff, because y'all are funny, and PA.
Oh, yeah.
You don't hold him up, and he don't hold you
up. That's right.
And it's all in good, clean fun.
That's right.
You know, and I know we all appreciate it. But I know you got to get out and get to your family. Thank you, DJ.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you, Miss Hilson. Thank y'all kids, Trevor, all of you guys. Thank you for allowing your dad to come up here and your husband.
All right, guys. With that, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Like I said, tune in. If the stars align, I'll have somebody very special here joining me on the radio show. And other than that, have a great night and see you in a couple weeks.
You have just heard Straight Talk with DJ Hilson. Listen live every second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Or catch us on the web at www.1037thebeat.com.